Shop Woodhouse Mazda first and experience the Woodhouse difference. At Woodhouse Mazda, we make car buying simple. From the Mazda CX-9 to the Mazda 3, we are sure to have something that fits your needs. Visit one of our two convenient locations in Omaha to shop our showroom or take a test drive.
All right, coming up on another week of the NFL, so far so good. I don't know how good tonight will be with the Eagles and the Giants. Some people may be forced to watch something else, but you never know. It could be a great bad game, but there are some interesting fantasy implications in that game and much more. So as we do every Thursday, let's welcome in from RotoWire, Joe Bartel. First and foremost, how many people reached out to you or you personally that were upset at the garbage time 69-yard touchdown that Kenyon Drake scored on Monday night?
Yeah, I'm in 16 leagues this year, and I guess I should say only one impacted me in a negative way. I had absolutely zero shares of Kenyon Drake this year, so I was like, all right, this is great. He's been kind of garbage all season long, and truthfully, he wasn't very good Monday night. He just was able to get that garbage time touchdown, like you said, and was able to score for the second time, which was huge. So only one of the 16 leagues I lost because of that. And I don't know, I've been doing this now for quite a while and I've had that amount of leagues for quite a while. So I took that as a win that it only affected me in one spot.
Hey, there's an interesting game this weekend in the standings and also in fantasy, the Steelers and the Titans. What's your thoughts on the quarterback matchup from the fantasy standpoint? Big Ben wasn't a great fantasy quarterback in their blowout against the Browns. They really didn't need him. Tannehill's facing a really good pass defense. How do you look at both of these quarterbacks from the fantasy perspective?
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. I'm excited for that game, and I don't think enough of the national media and public is on this one. Like this should be a fun game. It's kind of a clash of styles. I think the Titans, for as great as Tannehill's been, want to make sure they're winning games with Derrick Henry around, and I think the Steelers' defense is one of the best, if not the best, in the league for sure. And their pass defense is great, but I think their front seven, I should say, is kind of underrated in terms of how good they are too. So this will be kind of a clash of two good teams right now battling off. From a quarterback perspective from fantasy, look, we have Tannehill, I think, ranked number 8. We have 9, and Roethlisberger ranked 11. So right near the top 12. I would rather have Carson Wentz, who's playing against the Giants tonight, instead of probably both Roethlisberger and Tannehill, but certainly Roethlisberger. I think I'd rather have Breeze as well against the Panthers, and maybe even a Gardner Minshew against the Chargers too, although they have a few guys coming off IR that might change that outcome. So they're close to low-end quarterback ones, both Tannehill and Roethlisberger. I don't think Tannehill is going to have 364 yards and 4 touchdowns again like he did last week. But the touchdowns and how much he's throwing them is interesting to note, especially given what we know about Derrick Henry and how great he is running the ball, but certainly in the red zone with as a big body it can be. I don't know. Like I think we're going to see a bit of a regression from Tannehill when it comes to touchdown passes, but I don't think it's going to be a massive regression because defenses are always going to be going ahead and trying to stop Derrick Henry from scoring in the red zone. So therefore, there's going to be more passing options available. And guys like Firkser and Jonnu Smith have really kind of developed into quality tight end pieces, especially near that red zone spot. So I think you could probably get away with starting Tannehill, even though he has a tough matchup. I'm not sure I feel as comfortable saying the same thing about Roethlisberger, but Claypool has really emerged. Maybe Deontay Johnson comes back. Juju Smith-Schuster has been performing poorly, I feel like, in the past couple weeks, but they have a lot of weapons to be able to take advantage of that secondary of the Titans.
How do you feel about having any L.A. Ram players in your lineup? It seems like that is a team that has weapons offensively, but nobody has like burst through when it comes to fantasy football.
Man, you're so right on that. I mean, we all thought Cam Akers was going to get more involved last week. 0 carries. Cooper Kupp had multiple touchdown opportunities last week, and he's kind of been the most consistent of that group, but still has his down weeks more often than not. And Robert Woods, kind of the same deal. We all thought that Tyler Higbee was going to be a guy. Well, he got one good game, and then has been basically replaced by Gerald Everett. Everett is supposed to be the guy. He didn't have a good game last week either. It's really frustrating. I mean, like, Darrell Henderson and Cooper Kupp are really the two that I feel most comfortable with, and I guess Robert Woods as well, too, although I think Kupp is the higher ceiling player out of the two. It's a frustrating endeavor, and it's partially because their schedule is so difficult. I mean, you look at who the Rams have played and who they're going to continue to play because they have you know, the NFC West is their division. It's tough in this Bears matchup as well. I just have a hard time believing they're going to be super consistent fantasy guys. And for example, okay, Bears week 7, Dolphins week 8, they have a bye week 9. But right now we have Seahawks, Buccaneers, 49ers, Cardinals, Patriots at weeks 10 through 14. At least from a running back perspective, those are all top 10 defenses against opposing fantasy running backs. This is what we've seen basically all season long. Really, that Cowboys game was the one that you're hoping to get major fantasy production out of, and I guess the Bills too, given how that outcome occurred. But they've gone through most of their bad NFC East teams, the Giants also in week 4. We're going to have to kind of wait to see if there's going to be any payoff for the Rams moving forward.
Hey, we are a Chiefs flagship station, and I think somebody from the Chiefs was listening to our conversation last week about Clyde Edwards-Helaire and his usage. He goes out and touches the ball 30 times for 169 yards on Monday against Buffalo. And oh, by the way, Le'Veon Bell now joins the party this weekend in Denver. How do you think now they will break up the usage with Le'Veon Bell joining that offensive mix?
Yeah, that's going to be one of the big keys, I think, of the whole fantasy week. And the fact that they play the Broncos makes it a little bit frustrating for me, because I think we could get more of an idea if they weren't going against such a pretty good defense. And if they were ever going to struggle, I should say, the Broncos defense, if they was ever going to struggle, it was against the Patriots, and yet the Patriots were really kept in check in that loss. Cam Newton was really the most effective runner, and that was sort of it. So I still believe Edwards-Helaire is a tremendous talent. I thought since week 1, this is the guy and was going to be the guy. And the fact that he wasn't able to score in the red zone felt like it was a bit of a precursor for things to come. I thought Edwards-Helaire was a late first-round pick in fantasy in August, and I still kind of believe that, certainly after watching that Bills game. But only 40 rushing yards against the Raiders. I know that game script got out of hand and they had to use Mahomes more. But it just is a little bit weird. I thought Edwards-Helaire would be more efficient as a receiver. Like, he's been great. Mm-hmm. I still think he's been great as a runner, even though his rushing total doesn't necessarily show that. But I thought he could do more as a receiver. And that's where I wonder, okay, so Le'Veon Bell almost guarantees to take that 25-30% snap count that we've devoted to Darrell Williams and Darwin Thompson. Those guys are out of the picture completely. You have Le'Veon Bell take those snaps too. Well, Bell maybe could be a flex asset in fantasy if those snaps were to happen. And I think Edwards-Helaire would still be close to a first-round talent if that were to play out. But let's just say Bell ends up being a little bit more effective in the red zone. He does a little bit more as a pass-catching guy. Then I think it gets closer to a 60-40, 50-50 split. Mm-hmm. And that's really what you don't want to have happen if you are an Edwards-Helaire owner or a manager, I should say, for fantasy. So that's my concern. This isn't a Buccaneers situation where they signed Leonard Fournette and then we had to be worried about Ronald Jones. Ronald Jones, in my opinion, was always the clear-cut, talented guy, and Fournette really just isn't. So we've seen Fournette have one good game and then be hurt and just be ineffective. I think Bell can actually be a pretty good running back in the NFL still, and once he gets rid of the Adam Gase stink off of him, we're going to see that a little bit more. So I am just a tiny bit worried if I am an Edwards-Helaire manager in that sense. But I still think what we've seen with the Bills and what we saw week 1 and really other games throughout the season, he is too talented of a running back to not have on the field, especially for a guy in Bell who really hasn't been effective in the last 2.5 years.
As a Helaire owner, I'll take those comments to heart there. Let's help out some of our listeners here. James wants to know, he needs 2 of the 4 wide receivers. Juju Smith-Schuster, Julian Edelman, Emmanuel Sanders, or Keelan Cole Sr.?
Yeah, that's a tough one. I'm pretty sure I don't want Emmanuel Sanders in this equation, unless Michael Thomas were to, again, be ruled out for punching somebody or something like that. I just think Emmanuel Sanders is going to fall into the wayside. They're going to use this as a Michael Thomas get-right game, really kind of get involved in the offense this season. I think Julian Edelman has to be a part of that starting combination. I don't feel great about Juju Smith-Schuster, but I also don't really feel great about Keelan Cole either. We have Juju Smith-Schuster listed as 37 and Cole listed as 42 among our wide receivers. I think that's probably right. If DJ Chark is available and playing, Casey Hayward's going to be able to match it. But the Chargers also have a pretty good cornerback in Michael Davis that I don't think is going to have too much of an issue with Keelan Cole. And it's possible more resources are devoted to stopping Claypool or stopping Deontay Johnson or stopping James Washington, and therefore you see Juju Smith-Schuster get a touchdown. So that's kind of where I'm looking at. It's not great, but I think Juju's probably my number two receiver with Edelman being for sure of the starts.
All righty. Colin needs some help with the running back situation. He needs two running backs out of these three. He's got Henderson Jr., Gordon, or Edmonds.
Okay. And Gordon, it sounds like, is going to play right now. We know the legal matter is happening at the moment. I get a little bit worried. We really haven't seen too much of Gordon and Philip Lindsay on the field at the same time. So that there is some concerns what that looks like, especially after Lindsay had 100-plus yards in a difficult matchup against the Patriots last week. So I think you have to have Gordon in there for the touchdown upside. But I'm leaning towards Henderson because I feel like he has the more guaranteed workload. But it is against the Bears and the Rams, and we just talked about earlier, seem to change things week to week. It's a really tough call. I think Henderson is my guy because he's the supposed guaranteed starter. We have Henderson ranked number 24 and Edmonds ranked 26. So it's really close to one another. Edmonds is certainly worth having on your roster. I'm not quite sure this is the week to start him, though. I guess I'd rather have Henderson in this tough spot.
All righty, let's help out Brian at the QB position. He's got two. He says Rodgers or Herbert?
Yeah, we have Rodgers ranked 7, Herbert ranked 8. I think Rodgers is actually probably I'd rather have higher. Like, for example, Matt Ryan against the Lions, Josh Allen against the Jets, Kyler Murray against the Seahawks. Murray, Allen, Ryan are 4, 5, and 6. I think I'd rather have Rodgers over Ryan. I think I'd rather start Rodgers actually over Allen, too, just given what happens if the Bills jump out into an inevitable massive lead. This is going to be a get-right game for him. I was worried from a Packers fan perspective what this is going to look like. I didn't imagine it was going to be that bad with what essentially amounted to 2 pick sixes from the Buccaneers' perspective. But this Texans defense is fine enough. I think the secondary is really, really putrid, though. And this is going to matter a lot to Rodgers. There's going to be a bit of a crowd, I think, in Houston, if I was reading that correctly. Maybe it was like in a couple of weeks. I'm not certain. But I don't think the crowd was the reason why he threw those poor passes against the Buccaneers either. So I feel very confident and very comfortable with Rodgers. And I feel great about Herbert, too. Like, if you want to possibly sell high on Rodgers after this game, that's totally fine to get more assets out there. Because I think Herbert, rest of the season, is at least a top 12 fantasy quarterback.
Eric wants to know, and he's perusing in his league the waiver wire, do you believe in Titans tight end Anthony Firkser?
Yeah, especially if Jonnu Smith is out. And I think as of right now, he was either limited or wasn't participating in practice. Yeah, I think that's a huge deal for Firkser. And I think he can be a pretty talented guy. And you look at the Titans' passing attack, they're going to have Corey Davis back this week. A.J. Brown wasn't much of a factor when Corey Davis was out there in that first week, but then Brown got hurt. And they had to use Davis more. Adam Humphries became more. Basically, there was at least two Titans guys, pass catchers, that you could use from a fantasy perspective each week, but really not any more than that. I think Firkser could fit into that conversation, especially with Devin Bush now out for the season, the Steelers' middle linebacker, who is excellent at pass coverage, among many things. That's a big deal to me, and I think Firkser, so long as Jonnu Smith is out, is going to be close to a top 12, top 16, like a high-end tight end to start this week.
Antonio Gibson or DeAndre Swift?
I'm going Swift for this, and I don't know if it was on this station or another one where I ranted about how bad the Lions are bungling this thing. I'm finally glad to see that Matt Patricia has figured out who his best running back is. Hopefully Adrian Peterson gets demoted to never playing again at some point. I think Kerryon Johnson is also the better player as well. But it's Swift this week, and if Patricia wants to continue losing games, then yeah, absolutely. Go ahead, play Adrian Peterson all you want. But this should be a situation where Swift is able to take advantage of the Falcons' defense. I know Alexander Mattison couldn't last week, but Swift is just too good of a talent, and I think that offense for the Lions can be so much better if they actually involve Swift as opposed to Peterson.
This is an interesting one. You have both these on your roster. Carson Wentz or Matt Ryan?
Yeah, that is a good one. Matt Ryan is the one clear choice for our rankings right now. We have Matt Ryan 6, and I think Wentz is ranked 17. I would imagine Wentz gets bumped up a little bit more as we get closer to the kickoff. This is kind of like a, all right, we'll set the rankings and adjust them as they go. normally you adjust them on Sunday. You don't really count for the Thursday game. I would rather have, like I said, I would rather have Wentz around 12 or 13 overall. I think the Giants defense is just so bad. And Travis Fulgham has been pretty darn good. And I think Greg Ward has been as well. They get Deshaun Jackson back this week. I'm not worried about the Goddard Ertz loss necessarily. But Matt Ryan against the Lions defense is still a pretty clear option for me.
Ryan wants to know, heard our discussion last week about Steeler wide receivers. What do I do with Juju?
Yeah, I mean, you could trade him, and this is going to be a difficult matchup. I told a listener earlier that you have to play him. You're kind of forced to. But I'm not excited about his prospects. I mean, we have him ranked 37 this week. It's probably fair. Claypool has been really effective thus far. Deontay Johnson should be back, or it sounds like he's trending towards being available for Sunday's matchup. But that's a factor as well. If Juju Smith-Schuster can score a touchdown, that's great. I mean, that's what you're hoping for in weeks 1-3 when he was still a relevant fantasy starter. But if you have better options, I think you probably have to bench him. And I have to imagine you probably do. I mean, there's been enough waiver wire guys, whether it be Claypool or Fulgham or Justin Jefferson, I guess in shallower leagues. A lot of guys that you could have picked up off of waivers in the weeks 1-4 that have kind of developed into pretty clear, obvious starts at wide receiver.
Running back, McKissick or Henderson? We were just talking about the Rams a little bit earlier. Henderson or McKissick?
Yeah, that's a good one, too. We have Henderson ranked 24, McKissick ranked 25. I think I would rather have... Oh, boy. Do we know if it's full-point PPR or standard?
Standard.
Oh, then Ben Henderson. Henderson all the way for me.
Because McKissick has become like a major PPR machine.
Yes, he's been great. And we talked about him quite a bit on the Tuesday Roto-World NFL podcast as far as a free agent pickup. There's Boston Scott, who's the obvious starter with Miles Sanders out. Giovanni Bernard and Jeremy McNichols have been pretty clear backups, McNichols to Henry and Bernard to Mixon, who we don't know Mixon's status at all for this week. That's kind of an interesting one. But McKissick is like quietly, I think, becoming a pretty relevant fantasy factor as either the running back 3 or flex most weeks. And he got 84 total yards last week. He's gotten at least 6 targets in each of the last 3 weeks. And really, week 3, he had 4 targets as well. He's everything we thought Antonio Gibson would be, I feel like, at this point. And as long as Kyle Allen is your starting quarterback for Washington, you are going to see throws to the running back position every single time. So McKissick is a guy that I imagine is available in most places that absolutely needs to be picked up. The Cowboys is a great matchup, too, this week for him. They have a bye week 8. Mm-hmm. They have the Giants and Lions 9 and 10. Bengals, Cowboys, again, 11 and 12. You could probably make a case for McKissick starting as a flex in every one of those 4 matchups post-bye.
A couple more. This is looking at a flex. Lindsey, Mike Williams, Edmonds, or Chenault?
Lindsey, Mike Williams, Edmonds, or Chenault? I'm trending towards Mike Williams. And here's the reason why. I think Williams' production against the Saints 2 weeks ago was in large part because Keenan Allen was hurt. Mm-hmm. But what Philip Rivers did with Mike Williams the year before was, all right, I have a really big guy who's just great at catching the ball up in space. Let's go ahead and throw it to him. And even his Pop Warner arm could make Williams be able to do incredible things. Herbert finally figured that out against the Saints last week. And that throw to get them to put the game-winning kick that Badgley missed as the time expired in the fourth quarter, that was this is a Rivers throw. I mean, like, he figured it out. This guy is really tall, great at catching the ball up in the air. Let's throw it to him and see what happens, and it worked out. And I think that's a confidence booster moving forward. I really like Williams if he is in that capacity, and I know the offense for the Chargers will still revolve around Hunter Henry and Keenan Allen catching the ball in the middle of the field, and certainly when Austin Eckler comes back too, you'll have that dimension. But if Herbert figures out that Mike Williams can catch every ball in traffic down the sideline, that's like a lookout, because this offense could really be special type of thing. I think I'd rather have Williams in there for the upside scenario.
All right, I'm going to combine these two because these are more of getting your opinion on how much longer they should hold on to him. Jerry Jeudy in Denver and OBJ.
Yeah, I think you have to hold on to OBJ because nobody's going to be really trying to trade for him right now. And I do believe that some of the issues right now with Cleveland is Baker Mayfield's health as opposed to really any sort of issue with OBJ himself. But even the big games that he's had, it was kind of off a fluky touchdown pass, and he ran for 73 yards against the Cowboys. Like, those are things that shouldn't always happen from a wide receiver perspective. Like, I don't know if I have to be truly worried. I think once Nick Chubb comes back, that opens up another element for OBJ to be really be special again, because teams have to be reliant and aware of what Nick Chubb is doing on the field. And certainly Kareem Hunt can do that as well. But I think you're going to see a little bit more production from that regard. The fact that Beckham still has his bye to come makes me a little bit more comfortable trying to trade him if I had to. I mean, there's a lot of other teams, a lot of good teams, that have receivers that have already went through their bye weeks, like Michael Thomas, for example, Devontae Adams, A.J. Brown. Like, you can go get those guys and probably have to package OBJ with somebody to get them, but like, that's, I would rather target those players. Who was the other name I already ranted too long about OBJ?
Jerry Jeudy.
Yeah, Judy's going to be an interesting situation too. Like, I thought if Courtland Sutton's going to be out, you're going to see Jerry Jeudy be the number one guy. I liked him as a 1A to CeeDee Lamb's 1B as the rookie receivers coming out of the draft. And while I think Jerry Jeudy has really put stuff on tape in terms of being a talented wide receiver, the matchup doesn't really work for him. The Chiefs in Week 7, Chargers in Week 8. I guess the Falcons game, you could probably say, yeah, you'll start him. But I just think the limitations that Drew Lock provides you at quarterback are really the issue. And Tim Patrick has very clearly gotten some sort of connection with Drew Lock that Jeudy has not. So I'm not dropping Jerry Jeudy. I think that's a mistake to do. And if he's available in like 12 or 14 team leagues, you definitely need to pick up Jeudy. But I am a little bit more worried about him in terms of his production moving forward versus season, as opposed to Odell Beckham.
I know you talked about it on your very, very popular podcast. We'll talk about Tua next week ahead of his debut as a starter. Joe, I appreciate it as always. Enjoy the football. I would say enjoy tonight between the Eagles and the Giants, because we have no idea what that'll bring us.
Yeah, we're not certain if it's going to be football, but it's going to be fun. I think that's what we're looking for.
Hey,
entertainment.
Joe, as always, we'll talk to you next Thursday.
All right, thanks.
If you weren't able to get in, you can hit up Joe on Twitter at JB Fantasy Sports. He is from RotoWire. That is a really interesting, good breakdown on Tuesday of the waiver wire and other issues going on in the fantasy world on his podcast, which you can find on his Twitter page, JB Fantasy Sports. I looked this up after the question. Jerry Judy's only had 2 catches in the last 2 games.
That's it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you were moaning over there.
Yeah, because I got Juju as well on my team, and I was frustrated. I didn't ask any questions about it, but somebody else, thank you, listeners, for having my back and giving me some insight on what I should do with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Because I think Deontay Johnson is back.
I think so, too.
So you've got Johnson, Smith-Schuster, Claypool, James Washington. A lot of targets for Big Ben.
I'm going to have to talk to Mr. Juju Smith-Schuster. You need to stop practicing your celebration dance. You can't use it if you don't get in the end zone. Just saying.
A little bit of anger there.
Mm-hmm.
I think your quarterback will bounce back.
I think so, too.
We need to bounce back here. We got to continue this trend of us giving away TVs. For all of the people on social media that have pegged who this would be your opportunity to get your fingers ready, to dial in. Big Red Big Screen Blitz. Chance to win a 50-inch 4K smart big screen to watch Big Red. Brought to you by Fernando's, right here in Omaha. You can get your Fernando's fix. Register to win now at Fernando's. They've got 2 50-inch big screens. Not like you walk in there and, you know, the person behind the counter gives you some famous sports quote and you have to guess it. You just go in there and you register.
Yep.
75th and Pacific, 114th and Dodge. But on air, you have to guess who the clip is. Let's take... how about we do this? I was just looking at RotoWire rankings, Carson Wentz, because I'm thinking about playing some daily fantasy today.
Gotcha.
Carson Wentz is in their top 15 at quarterback, which he should be, but most of that is because he's running the football. How about we go with the 15th caller?
I'm cool with that.
All right, 15th caller, 951-1620, 951-1620. If you are the 15th caller, you're on the air next to try and win a TV.
Now, time to play Big Red Big Screen Blitz. Call now, 402-951-1620. Brought to you by Fernando's Omaha. Get your Fernando's fix. Also register to win Big Red Big Screen TV at Fernando's Omaha locations. 75th and Pacific and off 114th and Dodge. Who said that? Your chance to win a 50-inch 4K smart TV. All rules are on 1620thezone.com.